Welcome back to the Commander Clash Podcast. This week, we're going to be talking about the best and worst of Commander in 2025. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Commander Clash Podcast. And this week, in the spirit of the holiday season, we're going to be wrapping up 2025 with a bit of an award show. We're going to be going over a bunch of different categories, most underrated and overrated cards, best sets and mechanics, and eventually ending up with our card of the year. So that's our plan for today, a little 2025 award show. Before we get into the awards, we got a crew to introduce, and we got Phil and Tomer and Krim here today. How's it going, guys? Are you ready to wrap up 2025?
Hell yeah.
Magic years.
It's been a good year. It's been a good year.
So yeah. Fast. It's
a wild year in Magic. What a just ridiculous year in Magic. One of the craziest years I've been a part of, and I've been doing this for a long time now. And we had a lot of awards to get to here. We got like 10, 15 categories, which means we should probably jump into it. But first, we got a couple of sponsors today. Our show is brought to you by Foil Armor. Do you have problems with your foils curling? Well, Foil Armor is the ultimate solution to flattening your foils. It's a two-way humidity pack that you simply put inside an airtight container with your cards, and Foil Armor will absorb and release moisture, making your cards completely flat. Put it back in your storage box to keep your cards flat forever, and you can head over to foilarmor.com and use the code MTGGoldfish to get 15% off. Our show's also brought to you by Card Conduit, the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. If you ever get tired of the hassles of buy listing, you can skip them with Card Conduit. You can use their curated service where you send in as many cards as you want with a buy list value of a dollar or more, and pay just a 5% service fee. And if you want to do a bit of work, you can use their sorted service where you list and sort your cards in advance and pay just a 2% fee. Either way, you're going to get a detailed report with the results and a fast payment once your order is processed, and you can even get another 10% off by heading over to cardconduit.com/mtggoldfish. Card Conduit, it's the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. And normally, this would be where we do our comment of the week, but we're recording this one off schedule a little bit because of the holiday season, so no comment of the week this week, but it will return next episode. So let's get into the awards. So we have a huge list of awards here, and let's start with a fun one. We're going to hold like a real award show. We're going to save card of the year and stuff towards the end of the episode. So we're going to kick things off with most overrated card during spoiler season. This is the Elish Norn Mother of Machines Award, the card that everyone freaks out about and is like, oh no, it's going to be way too good. And then when we play with it and we're kind of like, okay, maybe it's going to be fine. So
not sure if that's a good example. I'm scared of this.
What about
one?
The one that makes treasures when you top a
How about
lands?
The Mirkwood Bat
Award? Bootlegger Stash?
The Bootlegger Stash Award.
That's okay,
that is
that was
cold,
even declared to be banned.
Yes. That's a good one.
So, but let's go with Bootlegger Stash. So, Bootlegger Stash Award, then. What is your pick for this year? What was the Bootlegger Stash of this year? Let's start with you, Tomer. What's your pick?
Oh, it's a Seth favorite. I think you know this card.
It's
a
so
little
good.
One called Radiant Lotus.
It's still so good.
It's so good.
I don't remember you playing it, but maybe next year. Radiant Lotus.
2026 is going to get here.
Six mana, generic artifact. Tap. Sacrifice one or more artifacts, choose a color. Target player adds 3 mana of the chosen color for each artifact sacrificed this way. It has Lotus in the title, so therefore, and it makes 3 mana.
So it must
in
be
an
good.
Interval. It must be amazing. It must be broken. Hey, what do you think, Seth?
I will say, Tomer, it is played in 0.36% of decks according to EDH rec. So there
I mean,
are dozens of us.
Broken
out
the
there.
Format.
There's dozens of us.
I do think.
Doing
that
what?
Doing artifacts, what? I guess. I mean, maybe I was a little too hyped about Radiant Lotus. That is completely fair. I still think it serves a purpose in certain artifact decks, but it's not nearly as scary as I was thinking it would be. I think the Lotus name is part of it. I also, we had Mox Jasper this year, like the Dragon Mox,
that
which says
legit.
Mox in the name. And
that one's
oh,
actually
no.
legit.
No, that card's horrible.
No,
the card is
base
ramp
no, no,
dragon.
That was on my
don't play it.
That's one of the best ramp cards in Changelings. What are you talking about?
Oh my god. Changeling bias. Phil, I see you and Krim also have Radiant Lotus as your pick here. What else was there anything else you were thinking about?
I mean, first of all, I gotta say Radiant Lotus, and I am a Lotus player, so I know the day the card is good in one deck that's also just wins
probably
if I food. Have six. But like, there's way better things in these specific decks. Like, Academy and Manufacturers.
Urza.
I mean, Urza is crazy, obviously. But, yeah, there's way... Yeah. Radiant Lotus, no. Even though in some decks, I guess it's fine. Yeah, on my shortlist was the Jasper Mox thing, which is hilarious because the Changeling problem, I think no card is better at describing this problem where the Changeling just take over a tribe. And there's like, yeah. After you play your 6-mana dragon, you have a 0-mana ramp one, or you just play a Changeling. So maybe with Lorwyn, it's finally playable. But then people didn't think it was, like, nobody said, oh, this is going to be busted, right? Maybe some modern players thought, oh, yeah, I can just play it for 0 and sacrifice it with the legend rule.
I don't think any of them... I guess that's true, that it didn't, I don't think it got that much hype during spoiler season. I think people knew that that one was like, even though it says Mox, was maybe not as busted as some past Mox. And what about you, Krim? I see you got Radiant Lotus on there too. Anything else you got thoughts on?
It's okay. Not, I don't need to reiterate what y'all have already said, but like, it is also just a giant 6-mana artifact.
And like, so you can tap immediately for Black Lotuses.
You can make so much
mana. Yeah, all these Black Lotuses is wild. So wildly bad. I couldn't believe it. They found a way to do it. And then on top of that, I feel like if you're in an artifact deck, you have 50 different other ways to do more broken things and more efficiently. So, like y'all had said. So, yeah, that's it.
There's got to be a good, like, really weapons manufacturing deck out of it. I don't know. Maybe one day.
It is kind of like bad PCI in a lot of situations. Like, it's like Karaklan Ironworks, but you can only one-shot with it because you can't keep activating it. I would add, so I'll agree with you, and we'll give Radiant Lotus most overrated card of the year. I did want to shout out two cards that I don't think are bad, but looking back on the year, I don't think they've been as good as their hype level during spoiler season, and those are the Aether Spark from Aether Drift, and the Soul Stone from the Spider-Man set. Again, I'm not saying neither of these cards are bad, but I remember, like, people freaking out about Soul Stone, and we're talking about it's going to go in every single black deck, it's going to be so expensive, this is a bad thing for the format, and it seems like it's been fine. I've seen people play it. It looks fine. Like, it's a good mana rock, but it's not, like, insane. And then the Aether Spark, there was a fear, like, is this in every deck? Is this another One Ring? And the answer is no. Like, it's still, like, in an equipment deck, when you can tutor it up and do shenanigans, it's still a solid option, but it's not like some format-defining ultra staple that just goes in every deck either.
I do think that of Soulstone, like, though. Soulstone is exactly, like you just mentioned, is exactly why it's so good, though, right? It enters, it is super just efficient at being a mana rock, and that's all it needs to be, but then it can be more when you want it to. So I think it is exactly where, I guess it was correctly rated. Whereas Aether Spark, that one has to be an equipment deck. I do not see it outside of an equipment deck, but in an equipment deck, it is so good.
Oh, it's still very good. If you can, like Stoneforge it up and do that, it's very good. But I was thinking it might be One Ring style card. We're just like, if I get a bunch of creatures, I'm going to jam the Aether Spark and like every deck to draw cards. And it didn't end up being like that.
Cloud loves it. I think Soulstone is the one that I'm still like, I haven't changed my opinion. I just don't like that it's almost too good for generically good. And maybe there's an argument that maybe 2-mana Morok should be at this level, but I don't know.
Soulstone is on another place on my list, so I don't think it's overrated.
Favorite card of the year?
Radiant Lotus winner, Bootlegger Stash Award for number one overrated card of the year. But let's go the other direction. Next category, we have underrated gem of the year. So this is a card that maybe isn't getting a lot of hype, but we think is really, really good. And this time, let's kick things off with Phil. Phil, what is your pick for underrated gem of the year?
So I have... Okay, I got to pick one. I don't know which one is more underrated. So two cards that I really like to play from this year that are not super evident in, like, I don't play them in every deck, although I try to. It is Biomech and Engineer, the 2-drop that comes with a lander token. This one played very smoothly. And it comes with a lander, and then for 8 mana, you draw 2 cards and create a colorless robot. And I've cracked the lander, I made the robots. It's just a good 2-drop, I think. And then I think if I nominate one card, which is, I think it's underrated because it's so cheap, even though it's single color, I don't know, it's Will of the Timur. 6 mana, choose one. If you control your commander while you cast a spell, you may choose both. You create a token that's a copy of target permanent, can be a caretaker's talent, except it's a 4/4 dragon creature with flying in addition to its other types. Doesn't even say permanent you control. And if that wasn't good enough, target player draws cards equal to the greatest mana value among permanents you control. And sometimes you do both for 6 mana. I mean, 6 mana is a lot, but my God, I love this card. Is it underrated? Why is it just 60 cents? 50 cents?
I think it's underrated. So this was my pick, too, for underrated card of the year, because I jammed this in every blue deck possible. Not only is it still only, like, 50 cents, it's only in, like, 1% of decks on EDH Rec. If you look through the commanders, it's not really a staple in any archetype, and the only commander that plays it more than half the time is, like, a Dragon's Tarkir or Yureni that maybe was in the precon or something. But it's, it's not, like, showing up constantly, and I think this is like the first card I add to pretty much any blue deck. I see this as like the blue Rishkar's expertise or whatever, this like big burst card draw effect. Plus, you get the upside of triggering your caretaker's talent. So, I'm curious though, me and Phil on the Will of the Teamer train, what about you, Krim? What do you got for underrated?
Oh, all right. Well, I was okay. All right. I'm gonna go with Maximum Carnage.
Why did he go to Krim? You
said it to me. I'm going to say you.
I picked that one too. I don't know. Can you explain it, Krim? You explain it. It's fine. You have to do it both times.
Okay. No.
Snipe
you know what,
me both times. Go ahead.
You know what? I'm not gonna spell jack you. Although it is very funny that I will have gotten to do it
that's
twice
fine,
in
our
podcast. No, Tomer, why don't you go and tell us? I have a backup.
Where's the strip mine?
All right, Maximum Carnage, as we were saying.
Great choice, Tomer.
It's all right, thank you. I'm glad that was the only one who thought of it. It's a 5 mana, 4 red, Enchantment Saga. It has 3 chapters on it. The first chapter until your next turn. Each creature attacks each combat, if able, and attacks a player other than you, if able. Chapter 2, you add 3 red mana. And chapter 3, this saga deals 5 damage to each opponent. This is a card... it just feels good in various parts of the game, especially in the late game where people have a board of creatures and you want them to be swinging at each other. You know, you play this after your combat so you don't have to swing yourself. And then everybody swings into each other. Creatures are dying. People's life totals are going down. People's creatures are being tapped, so your next swing into them is easier. It ramps you on chapter 2 and chapter 3. 5 damage to each opponent. It's not that much, but if life totals are low, like when they swung into each other for a full turn cycle and stuff, and it's late game, that could be enough to actually start killing people. Really, really good card.
I don't think you could have said it better.
Thank you.
Honestly, I fully agree with all those points.
Great
mind. Tomer, you've convinced me. You know, I think I'm going to also choose Maximum Carnage now. Wow.
Don't buy it out, please.
I do genuinely agree with Tomer, though. As wild as that is, to piggyback off that, I do think it is a very, very good card when you play it.
What's your choice, though?
I love your choice as well. Great taste.
Thanks.
But if I had, since, you know, let's pretend that I didn't pick that as well.
Exactly.
I would have to probably choose either, I can't decide, because I really like Villainous Wrath as a sweeper.
Yes, and I love that card.
I thought at first this was cute and it was a meme, right? And it was like, I gotcha. But it really does get you. And it happens way more than you think it will. I've actually learned to really love the Villainous Wrath burn half of the sweeper, and it's better than like Deadly Tempest because obviously that card's 6 mana, and this one is at 5, so this one's super solid. Just you get a lot of people with the burn out of nowhere. No one plays around it. That's how underrated it is. No one thinks of it, so it's perfect.
Yeah, I mean Villainous Wrath. I love that card as well. I guess we just split this one. I think Maximum Carnage, Will the Teamer. They both have 2 votes. Unless any of us are going to change your minds, just co-winners this year, I think.
Co-winners?
Yeah, I cast Will of the Teamer and I died to Villainous Wrath. So I
yeah.
Both are good.
And I know Tomer really loves Maximum Carnage, and so does Krim, so I can I can respect that.
So who's getting the best, most underrated card of the year?
Oh, I mean, are you guys going to come over to the Will of the Teamer side?
There's lots of card advantage.
It's okay.
There's which lots one is of card advantage stuff.
Better at
you know
triggering
what I mean?
Caretaker's talent, though. You know what? I would meet you at Villainous Wrath. I would meet you at Villainous Wrath. I would,
so
I would
it's
come
a three-way
over
tie.
To Villainous Wrath.
Nah, I might.
So then it's a three-way tie, right? Because
okay,
you have two Maximum Carnage.
Phil's coming along, too. Phil's coming along, too.
I'd be fine with the Wrath, yeah.
Okay. Dark Horse Candidate. Villainous Wrath
I'll hop on board, sure. It's a
okay,
good card.
Okay, Villainous Wrath. Underrated gem of the year. Let's move on to a fun one. And this one, I'm sure we're not going to agree on, and that's fine. This is your personal opinion. This is Cringe Card of the Year. So one thing we get a lot of now is cards that maybe make you cringe, but what cringe means is different to everyone. So what is your pick for the card that just made you cringe the most this year? And I'll go first because I have strong feelings about this. And my God, is it the friggin' hot dog card. I hate the hot dog. I hate that card. To me,
that bagel
is
and schmear. Better or worse than bagel and schmear?
Well, at least it's tastier. I would if I was going to eat one, I'd rather eat the bagel and schmear, I think, than the hot dog card.
Oh,
but,
no, they're
it's
both
on the
great.
Same level, though. I just, ooh. I, the worst part
what
of
are
Magic
your
in 2025 for me.
On
actually,
the
my bagel's plain. I don't even know. I've never had a bagel with schmear on it, I guess. I just, I eat
oh, you
butter
think
butter is
spread.
So schmear.
I think it's a okay. spread.
It's so good.
I had to ask Brian. I didn't know.
I will say my least favorite part of Magic this year is just cards doing everyday modern things in modern setting. And hot dog cart is like just the perfect example of that for me. It's just like a thing that could be down the street from you if you lived in New York City. So for me, that's the most cringe card of the year. But Tomer, what do you got for most cringe card of the year?
I got Rent Is Due.
It's not
even cringe. It just stresses me out, man. I'm just thinking about my rent and I'm like, did I pay?
So it's doing its job.
Like, I don't want to be stressed out about my finances when I'm playing Magic the Gathering, my escapism game, man. Next time they're gonna be telling me to do my taxes and be like, your tax form is late. You know, I'm like,
that already
oh, no.
exists, right? Land tax.
Oh god.
Phil, what do you got for most cringe?
I mean, for me, it's a tie. Oh, no, it's not. It's Spider-Man or Spider-UK or Spider-Man India, but I think Spider-Man India is just...
Spider-Man New York.
No, that's all I say about
Brooklyn
this.
Visionary.
Yeah, it's Brooklyn.
Ay, ay, ay.
That's his name. Yeah. I don't understand what's wrong with his name.
Well, it's a country. It's like, yeah. Where's my?
Imagine if we got like
flipping over
Jace Australia.
Yeah,
I mean, we have New York
Australian
City
Jace,
a billion
right?
different cards now. I don't know.
Jace
that
shopping at Target.
Bother me anymore? Yeah. I mean, it does bother me, but it's all like the same.
It is notable.
Captain America, right?
Yes.
Think about
that
it.
One very correct. Yes.
That's at least consistent.
So, Krim, I wasn't even going to ask you this, but do you have any cringe cards this year? I just assumed that nothing is cringe to you, so you probably wouldn't have an answer. But
except for Clash On.
Clash On.
Yeah, he won't be cringe about anything, but Clash On is too far for him.
Anything that is self-referential, to myself, I immediately, that's like if they made a card and they just called it like Krimbopoulos, like you know what I mean?
I love that.
Or Krimothy, and it's just like me, right? Then I would cringe because I'm like, that's me. I don't understand why that. I would
get
that.
It signed and I'd play it against you every single time.
You know, Krimothy, like that's the only thing that would make me cringe. But Dwight, all of that, ooh. I'm sorry, none of it makes me cringe because I just like, I'm like, it's either so silly that I just like, all right, cool. And then I just move forward, right? Like, there's nothing that like sticks with me and makes me wince out of like, right? It's not like, I don't know, nothing just makes me feel that way.
Yeah, that is completely fair. It is notable that everyone else picked a card from Spider-Man, which I guess this wasn't a category, but I guess it's cringiest set of the year based on our cringiest cards of the year. But let's keep going forward. This one's going to be interesting because we're getting more and more of these. This is The Walking Dead Award for Best Unique Secret Lair Drop Card of the Year. And there's actually some competition this year because they have done a lot of unique secret lair drop cards. Yay. I went with a card that I think Krim loves, and I actually kind of hate, but I do think that it was probably like the best unique secret lair drop card of the year, and that's Deadpool Trading Card, which makes every game it shows up in way more miserable, but is a pretty
you
unique
mean
design.
Baby boy?
The baby boy right there peering through the deck box window.
Love him.
But we also had like the PlayStation Lair drops. We had the Sonic Lair drops. There was a lot this year. So what other picks do we have for unique secret Lair card of the year?
I mean, I'll say Deadpool as well. I didn't even put something in here because I usually just skip the unique Lair drop things. I guess did Iron Man. It's not unique, but
Iron Man
the only
was
one
last.
I,
that was last year.
Yeah, that's the one I got for my own deck, but otherwise I just skip these cards. They are usually unique, usually not too powerful, luckily. Deadpool is very unique, though, I gotta say.
Deadpool's very powerful. I think a lot of them are getting kind of strong.
I think they are pulling out the stops,
unfortunately.
But what do you got, Tomer, for Lair Drop card?
I don't think this is like the most unique card, but it is definitely strong, and it was actually stronger than when I initially read it, because when Krim played it on Commander Clash, I was like, really? It works that way? It's Knuckles that can, it's 4 mana, 2 double red, legendary creature, Echidna Warrior. It's a 2/4 double strike trample haste. Whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, create a treasure token. And Treasure Hunter, at the beginning of your upkeep, if you control 30 or more artifacts, you win the game. The upkeep trigger is like flavor text. Like, I don't expect that to actually happen much, but like, it's a double strike trample haste, so it hits for 4 mana immediately. It will make 2 treasure tokens by itself if it deals combat damage to an opponent. And it's whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, it helps your other creatures too. I thought it was only when Knuckles dealt the damage. No, it's for your other creatures for each player. It is wild. It is a wild card. It's very strong, this card. It's very, very strong.
I fully agree with Tomer there. That card is sweet. I played in almost every red deck I have.
Yeah, I put it in there.
But that is not my choice of the year.
Is your choice, Krim?
Dazzle
us.
I do think Knuckles is actually really up there. And there is a discussion about the... does it count as this? Yeah, it did, because it came out this year. Ghost of Tsushima. Or Ghost of Yote, the Esper
that
one.
Was cool.
There's like some, as y'all mentioned, there's some really solid front runners this year. But when you think of the card, and I know you know where this is going, but like if you think of the card that has the most painful interaction questions, confusing board states, everybody's having a good time. Everyone is their heads were nodding, you see? It's Deadpool, and so you know I went with Deadpool Trading Card. I even have it as a Pokemon card back, just to really drive up the Deadpool factor here. I think Deadpool is hilarious. I love this card. It's good everywhere, every phase of the game, wherever it is, if it's anywhere around you, it is a good card. And I love this thing.
It's a powerful card. I agree. It's a very powerful card.
It's also funny and it's fun.
Though it is true the first time or two, but the third or fourth or 10th or 20th time, it becomes a little less funny and fun.
It's like Scheherazade. Like a little bit. Only once.
The novelty is cool at first, but boy, it is kind of miserable. I am a little nervous now that you mentioned that we're talking about this. They are really making these unique secret lair drop cards better and better, aren't they? Because, like, I know the PlayStation ones are really popular. People are building around, like, the God's Partner pair. People are playing the Sonic ones in, like, CDH or talking about playing them in CDH. They are really making them stronger. It's going to be something to keep an eye out next year. It's just, like, how busted these unique secret lair drop cards
get. And limited edition and very small supply. And the way to access it is best with bots and scalpers who will get to it first and then upsell you afterwards. Yeah. Lovely. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Great. So
let's move on. Let's move on to a fun category. And this is another personal one. So this is your personal pick for your favorite Commander content of the year. So this is just your chance to shout out someone, not us, that that you like their content of and you've enjoyed it this year. So let's start with Phil. Phil, why don't you hit us up with some content here?
So I don't watch too much content that's not, sorry, I listen to our regular channel podcast, unless I'm not on the podcast. I mean, I am on it right now, so I'm not going to listen to this. If I'm not, I'm going to listen to this, whatever, not shouting out us, I guess. I do get shorts. My short feed gets a lot of shorts from MTG Recon or something. I don't know. I watch his shorts. Get pushed into my algorithm. Trinket Mage has a cool podcast.
Oh, and, right. That podcast is
cool. On the podcast.
Yeah, on your list, I see Meaty Magic, although I do way prefer Meat Canyon's original channel. So it's cool that a lot of creators went into Magic content, though, although I didn't really watch too much of it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up for my category, actually, was, like, to me, when I think of Magic content this year, there is, like, old-school Magic content that I really like. I was going to shout out Trinket Mage and Silburious Snail as two channels that I think have, like, made really good Commander content and kind of, like, blown up in the past year. I think they started before this year, but this is the year where they really became, like, kind of ever-present in the recommends and stuff like that. So shout out to them. The other trend I saw this year was big content creators not from Magic starting to make Magic channels, which we saw, like, the Meaty Magic channel, Magic channel from Meat Canyon. We have Wubby doing a Magic channel. We have Charlie, Moist Critical, doing a Magic channel now. So we've seen all these, like, big creators that are not really known for Magic starting their side channel playing Magic, which I think is kind of interesting to see these people that have, you know, millions of subs doing their whatever they normally do. Also thinking that it's so fun or worth it for whatever reason to start a Magic channel on the side. So that was one of the trends I noticed this year. But Krim, what about you? What do you got for content this year?
So I don't actually watch a lot of content in general. And so the ones that I do watch, he's kind of new. He's an up-and-comer. Talarian Community College.
I think he's improving.
He's gonna pop off. I think he's got what it takes.
Sooner or later, if he sticks with it.
If he sticks with it. I gotta shout out my old professor, just because. I mean, I just love watching his videos. Always has really cool people come on, and just, like, I love the editing. I love the thought that goes into it. And even though I may not agree with everything, you know, like, it's like, yeah, you know, it's still fun to watch and hear Prof talk about what he doesn't like. And, you know, like, I think it's really, I don't know, just well thought out. And so yeah. Like it.
Prof's great. Prof's great for sure. What about you, Tomer? What do you got for this year's content?
So it used to be that my top I don't really watch that much content either, Magic content. But it used to be that I Play to Win almost always my top for Magic. And I still watch them and I still love them. I think their editing is really good. I think they're just, like, their banter and everything is really good. Both Dylan and Cam are great. I always talk to them
chill.
They're super chill. I love their style. I love everything about them. And, like, they even help with CD. Like, when we do CDH episodes, I usually go to them for, like, advice and stuff, which is nice. But there's another one that I also started watching a lot this year. And this is, like, my favorite, like, background stuff. It's Amy the Amazonian, because I started playing Brawl a lot this year.
Oh, yeah.
And Amy the Amazonian.
Amy's awesome.
She streams every day. She puts a lot of content on YouTube that's just Brawl. She focuses on Brawl. And I love her energy. I love her personality. She manages to play and chat the entire time, which is, like, such a skill that I've tried to do myself. It is very hard. It is very hard to do. And she does it very, very well. So I always, like, if I'm doing editing and stuff, I sometimes, like, have her in the background as well. And it's good. Good content. Highly recommend.
Yeah. Amy, all good choices. Mm-hmm. Good choices. I don't think I've seen the Rakan shorts yet. Maybe I haven't. I didn't realize it. But otherwise, all really good choices. Let's move on to a big picture topic. We have the Commander controversy of the year. It's not a year in Magic without there being some sort of drama or controversy. So what do we have for picks for most controversial? Tomer, why don't you kick us off with this one?
It's a little thing. It might be changing the hybrid mana rules in Commander. I wasn't a fan. Yeah. I might have made a video on it.
I am a fan, and I might have made a video on it too. Right. And I still think it's the most controversial. It's like, I am shocked at how controversial that was. Like, it caught me by surprise how riled up everyone got about hybrid mana. I thought, like, maybe people would care a little bit, but my God, everyone made videos about it. It was the biggest topic. Everyone was, like, super mad and, like, filling out petitions to, like, stop hybrid mana changes. It was just, like, so extreme. So, yeah, I mean, that was huge drama this year. We'll see if they actually do it. We still don't know for sure. We're waiting. We're waiting until January to find out. So we'll see. What else is in the discussion? Phil, what do you have for a controversy?
So for me, it's just to be clear, the unbannings happened this year, right?
I think
like Mana Crypt?
Yes.
Mana Crypt was banned last year.
Oh, yeah, that was last year. The ban.
That was last fall.
Yeah, I guess.
Did they have the
Foreign Clex?
I forget.
And
they did, right?
Unbanning.
Coalition Victory.
Like,
oh,
right?
Okay.
Coalition Victory.
No, then it's still relevant. Okay, yeah, so my favorite controversy, even though it's not.
I forget
is
what
it controversial. Every time somebody suggests to unban Primeval Titan, it's like, oh, yes, tell me more, please. Tell me how you have.
I was there. I was there when it was available.
Tomer lived through it. He lived through it.
I mean, I kind of get
flashbacks.
How you can do crazy things in Commander, but that's not an argument for unleashing the Titan. And I don't know if they don't know about Field of the Dead and Glacial Chasm. Why would you? They're bad as. Bad
enough. We only tested it with basic forests.
I feel like
didn't think to tutor up Field of the Dead.
I honestly think like in a couple more years it will be fine to unban because we'll just the power creep will
be
so high because like every single year we just keep seeing like cards that are just like so crazy push.
But
so
you,
it's like
you
eventually
get,
it will be fine.
You how
lands
how much
worse
got now with Talon Gates. You get the Titan and the Field and Talon Gates, face off the Titan so you can attack next turn.
Yeah, whatever.
Like, that's kind of brutal.
Already getting worse.
Yeah, but they just, I think they like the
Primeval
will be like
Goliath
a turn three
along
format soon enough, and then Prime will be too slow. And then we'll just
all right,
we can unban it, I guess.
I dread that day.
What was your pick, Crib, for controversy this year?
I'm very curious. Controversy of this year means what? Like my favorite one or like the one that
the
I just.
Biggest one, most interesting, whatever you want. I can go however you want on this one.
To be honest,
a moment in time.
I do not really pay attention to controversy. I just in that same sense because it's like I don't know. I know is from you guys.
You got to hear about it from streams and podcasts and stuff. You got to pick up little bits at least.
I hear it, but like I don't like partake in it. You know what I mean?
Right,
I'm just like, I'd rather just go like do something like play Magic or read a comic, right? Like I think the only thing that I heard from the controversy that I remember like chuckling at is like, I didn't think this many people would be that upset about New York City.
I still am. I'm that hot dog.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, dang, dude. Okay. All right. I mean, that made me chuckle and like, hey, I get it. You know, enjoy your game how you want to, right? Like, it's just funny. I didn't think that New York City would be like, ah.
I feel like that's one of those things that 3 years from now, people probably will not be nearly as mad about. I think it's partly that this was like the first set where it's really like that. And then like House, I don't know, cringy. I found some of the cards like Hot Dog Cart and whatnot. So I think like give it a year or two and people probably will not be as riled up.
We have at least
it.
Another full year of New York City, right? We have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and I think it's like a Marvel set that's coming out.
Another Marvel
so those
set
are going to be New York.
But Marvel doesn't
we'll
just only like stay in New York. That's it. They need it. And then also this, my issue actually with this controversy is that now where's my like San Francisco? Where's my
there's other cities that exist.
What the heck, dude? I'm upset that it's only New York City. I already see New York City in every movie. Come on, guys. Give me LA or SF or something.
All right, let's move on. Back to the realm of Magic cards. Mechanic of the year, the Kicker Award for Best Mechanic of 2025. Phil, why don't we start with you? What's your pick?
So my favorite mechanic is very recent one, and it's Airbend. And actually, all the bendings are super cool, but Airbend is like, I gotta say, Landers were close for me because they were trinket tokens, but they fetch basics, so sorry. Airbend is just so
disrespect.
Many different things. It's a creature leaving the battlefield, it's casting something from exile, it's kind of like blink, but it's also tempo, it's removal. There's very neat things to do with it. There's an infinite combo that I play in standard now. That's such a cool mechanic. Very cool flavor. Yes, yeah. This one plays super well. That's my favorite mechanic of the year. Unless I'm forgetting something, but maybe it's recency bias because I really like the standard deck. And one of my favorite cards of the year is Airbender's Wrath or Aang's Wrath.
Avatar's Wrath.
Yeah.
This
one's also cool. Super cool. So maybe it's the cards that create Airbend, but I don't know. Airbending takes the crown for me.
I think it's a really good mechanic, too. Like, the mechanic's just, it's so much better than I thought it would be. I was like, oh, it's just like bad blink or whatever. But once you play with it in all the weird synergies, it's so cool. But let's go on to Tomer. Tomer, what's your pick for mechanic of the year?
I'm going to be sticking Avatar. It's Firebend. I mean, I love Airbend's my second favorite of the year, actually. And Firebend is my first because I don't know if you know this. I like red. It's a color I enjoy in Magic. And I did a video talking about like what I think red is kind of weak in, at least mono red and Commander. And the one that I was like kind of a sticking point is that like I think red's ramp is always like towards Storm. You know, like if you're ramping in red, you're doing like chaining rituals and then winning in a single turn. And that's not really what I want to be doing in like more casual tables. I want something that ramps very red like, but I don't want it to be like I win the game in a single turn. You know, I don't want it to be all or nothing. And then Firebending came out like 2 months after that or something like that. So like they were already way ahead of me on this one. And it's exactly what I want. It's like, it feels so red. It feels so flavorfully red as a way of ramping. It's so powerful, but it also is so just like in the moment. You know, you can only use it in combat, then it's gone. So much mana potential, but it's so fleeting. And then you have to figure out cool ways about actually utilizing it. And then like the set uses clues, it uses instants, it uses like mana sinks, and that's super cool. But like it's open-ended too. You can start using it in different ways. You can use it to cast your big scores and stuff, and I just love the mechanic. It's such a cool way of like giving red mana in a non-stormy way. I'm like, I love Avatar. It's such a good set.
It's also good. I mean, I guess I'll just go next because I also have a bending, not airbending, not firebending, but earthbending. I have earthbending as my mechanic of the year because. I mean, if you're going to make a mechanic that lets me loop a strip mine, of course, it's going to be my favorite thing that you can do this year. But really, it's a mechanic that at first glance I thought was a little boring compared to the other Avatar mechanics because it's kind of like an awaken mechanic, right? You're just like turning your lands into creatures. We've seen that before. But the fact that the lands come back into play once they're removed, outside of being protection from removal, also just opens up these weird synergies. Like the strip mine thing, there's these weird landfall shenanigans that you can do with your lands just like coming back into play and then being airbent again. Badger Mole Cub is just an obscenely broken card. We saw on Commander Clash not that long ago how hard that card can actually like pop off when it gets going. So I really love earthbending. I love all the mechanics from Avatar though, really. But Krim, what about you? What is your pick for mechanic of the year?
Honestly,
waterbending.
Waterbending.
For the sweep.
I will keep it in the world of Avatar, though, and I'm 100% with Phil on airbending. I really, really liked airbending. I think this is a mechanic that just it plays so nice. It gives you ETBs again. It gets you it allows me to cast, I don't know, a color pip heavy card off of just like two generic mana. I really like it, and being able to control when your creature re-enters is the biggest part about this, right? Because, like, yeah, you can blink, you can flicker, those decks exist, and you can do all of that, but being able to control when it comes back is equally important, and I would rather just pay two to play it again and have it come back at a later point, right? So I really like that, and then I think airbending is my favorite, but a runner-up would be Warp. Really liked
That's so
Edge of
good.
Eternity's got some really good mechanics as well, but Airbend is just too sweet.
Warp is so
fun. I feel
Warp
so
is
bad
very
for
cool as well, yeah.
for Edge because it just got so overshadowed by like Final Fantasy and Avatar. It got edged out, but it's like such a good set, and it's got such cool mechanics. I think this year actually had really good mechanics overall. Like, I feel like this was a banger year for Wizards making mechanics for Magic sets. But speaking of Magic sets, let's talk about banger sets. Best set of the year. So this year, we got a million Magic sets. Aetherdrift this winter, Tarkir Dragonstorm, Final Fantasy, Edge of Eternities, Spider-Man, Avatar the Last Airbender. So six sets this year. What is your pick for number one Magic set of the year? And let's start with you, Krim. What do you got?
All right. To your surprise, or to no one's surprise, actually. We're talking about Commander, so I'm going to go with this because we're talking about Standard and all of that. I'm saying Avatar. But overall, for Commander and everything that is awesome about Commander and seeing people getting into the game and building decks, it's got to be Final Fantasy, right? We're talking about Final Fantasy as a Commander set is still, like, we've still got the winter set, the winter box release. You have all the Commanders that came out. Like, everybody has a legendary character or card from this set that they want to build around, right? They even gave mill players, you know, something, right? And we never get enough stuff. And they mixed it with Lifelink, right? So they also got real creative with some of the new Commanders that you could build around. I just think, for Commander, oh my God, Final Fantasy is huge.
I really want to have Avatar because that's my personal favorite set of the year. But I think it can't not be Final Fantasy. Like, just the implications of what Final Fantasy were for, like, what it did to the game, how many people it brought in, the, like, ridiculousness with the prices, with all the boxes, even from other sets spiking because of it. Like, we've never seen anything like Final Fantasy. And I would say the set actually backed it up with the cards, too. Like, personally, I enjoy Avatar, like, a little bit more than Final Fantasy. But it was, like, legitimately a really well-designed and, like, put-together set. So I think you got me convinced that I'm also going to go with Final Fantasy, Krim, just because of, like, its implications to the game as a whole. But what about you, Phil? What do you got for set of the year?
I mean, I would sign off on Final Fantasy being objectively the set of the year, but for me it's got to be Edge of Eternities. I love space, and I love the arts are super cool. There's actual cards that I really love playing. It's some of my favorite Magic memories this year. For me, it's personally Edge. I would give it to Final Fantasy just objectively because so many people started playing Magic with it. But my God, the space set. Oh, as expected, so got my heart. Love it.
It is. It's a really good set. That's a good
set. I love Edge of Eternity so much.
So do I. I really do. Definitely my favorite, and I love Tarkir Dragonstorm too, but definitely my favorite in-universe set of the year. Like, I think that the Edge of Eternity stands out for sure there. What about you, Tomer? What do you got for set of the year?
Wacky Races, Aetherdrift. No, I'm just kidding. It's Avatar.
Whoa, hey, Tomer, hold on, calm down.
So Edge of Eternities is probably my second one, but also Final Fantasy was great too. But Avatar is my favorite of the bunch. I just really like the mechanics, and there's a lot of cards that I just keep looking at. I'm like, man, this is really good. These are really good.
It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, but I think, like, Avatar, Edge, Final Fantasy, they're almost interchangeable for me. They're all just really big bangers for me. And it's kind of wild that they were all, like, all the same year. That's kind of, and they're all, like, back to back, really. It's, like, very impressive.
I feel like this is one of the most polarized years for Magic sets for me because, like, half the sets I absolutely love. But then on the other side, the sets that I didn't like, I really didn't like this year, which leads us to our next category, which is worst set of the year. What is the set you like the least out of 2025? And for me, there's two big contenders. Aetherdrift from In-Universe. My God, do I hate that set. Oh, I hate that set. It's just like, the cards weren't very good. It was all about loot, which I don't personally care about loot that much. The flavor was pretty incomprehensible with, like, their racing, and all the racing teams kind of, like, looked the same, and I never really got a sense of, like, what their purpose was.
The so yellow that's what I thought us. Was...
Oh, the yellow porter treatment. Yeah, the gold treatment. But for me, like, Spider-Man, I think, takes the cake. That set for me was just, like, it was... I felt like...
Was it the hot dog in a cart?
It was most, that was a lot of it. The flavor, like, I just couldn't get behind. And then, like, just all the chaos of it changing at the last minute and 40 spider people and just, like, all the stuff like that. It had some fine cards in it. I don't really have anything against, like, the individual cards. But I think the set itself was just, like, it was so muddled and just, like, awkward. Plus, it was set in modern, like, New York City, which is just not my jam. So I got to go Spider-Man, but Aether Drift was also bad. What do you guys think? Any other votes for worst set of the year?
Well, I'm going to actually, I could go next then.
Yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
I feel like when I think of like mechanics that are bad, I think of Aether Drift because there's a lot of car mechanics in there and they are all pretty bad. And on top of that, this set actually could have been a really cool idea. For me, this is the biggest waste. Oh, I guess like drop like and waste of potential. I was so hyped on it because it could be something sweet. But I just really didn't like that half of it was Amaket and the other half was a Vishkar, right? Like, I like a Vishkar, but I wish that the other half was actually like Neon Dynasty or something like that, right? Where we would have actually had a purpose for all the racing, all the technology. I think there it would have made for a better racetrack. Like, as if you're trying to go map to map different racetracks and all of that, those two planes would have been cool for death races and stuff like that. So the genre of set they were trying to go for is intriguing. I think the execution was just a little unfortunate. Don't get me wrong, there's obviously cards that I really like in there, but like Seth had mentioned, I didn't feel like the teams were really felt, right? Like, it didn't feel like I was on, like on Ravnica, this is Dimir, this is Grohl, you know? On Bloomborough, this is Otters, yada, yada, yada. I couldn't decide, like, really pick apart whose race team is whose, right? And I like loot, Tomer, I know you love loot too, so and as a loot lover, I'm kind of sad that I don't feel like loot's any better of a racer. Where's loot's car? Give me something with loot racing more than just like you know what I mean?
Do you see him? He's on the car.
I see him. I love him.
On the car.
Oh my god.
I freaking love him. I love it. That. And then, the yellow borders was painful, but now it's, like, kind of funny. It's so painful that it's kind of funny to own now. So we're, like,
they're so hideous, but like, they're going to be the new white border. They're going to be the new white border of modern magic.
I tried playing them in a deck, actually, and then
they're so hideous. I love them.
It wasn't worth the bit.
It just wasn't worth it. Pretty bad,
That's just the main thing. I think the special treatments of the set, the flavor, it could have been something cool, but they just kind of dropped the ball there. So all around, I just didn't like it. I don't know. Speed, I still use as a mechanic in Commander. I think it's great, but in Standard, I think it's kind of poo stew. But like,
I gotta say, just sorry, but the speed mechanic was kind of the slowest mechanic they ever did. I guess like Outlast or Level Up is slower. The fact that the high speed mechanic can only work over 4 turns or 3 turns, that's weird.
It does take a while to get up to max speed, but I think in Commander, you're a lot of the time to get there. But I think that, most of the mechanics just didn't land for me.
And that was the set that Wizards kind of talked about, like, we kind of need an easy set. So we put together Aether Drift so that might
I was
also
looking for the source
that,
because I remember reading, like, they were like, we were stretched on resources. A lot of people were working on other projects.
A Mark Rosewater podcast, it was a Drive for Work podcast. So you might have to find the podcast episode. But
But it sounded like it was kind of like doomed, kind of like Spider-Man, where it's like, last minute, we have the development change.
Do
it was
this
a small set. We got to swap it over.
Say,
we don't have much time.
It does have some redeeming qualities in that, like, it's got some solid cards in Standard. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. It makes me appreciate good sets.
Yeah, that's true. How would I know what a good set was if it wasn't for Aether?
If they're all bangers, I would be spoiled about it.
What is your pick, Tomer, for worst set of the year?
Oh, it's Spider-Man, I mean, obviously.
Yeah. Phil?
I mean, Aether Drift is also up there, but
it's impressive that Aether Drift isn't. Like, when this year started with Aether Drift. If you would have told me this is not the set that I would crown the worst set of the year, I would be speechless.
How did they manage to top it? Yeah. Well, I think we have Spider-Man is the overall winner, although we did get a lot of honorable mention votes for Aether Drift, and Krim also had Aether Drift on there. Well, let's move on to our last few categories. We're getting to the big ones here. So next up we have the best worst card of the year. So by this, I mean a card that's good, but maybe like so good that you kind of wish that they didn't actually print that card. Like maybe it's a little bit too good. And let's kick things off with Phil. What do you have for the best worst card of the year?
So my best worst, well, let me check. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I'm kind of torn here because I added one last minute. All right, I got it. Okay, so it's probably Deadpool, although it is two color and you don't really run into it too often. And for this one, I kind of like that they gate kept it with a limited time offer. And I would have to give it.
That was balancing it.
Yeah, that was kind of balancing it because the only time I've run into it is when I play against Krim. The one that I really dislike the most is the Soul Stone because it's so generically powerful and you should probably play it. I know it's not super busted. Now that I played it a bunch in Brawl, it's like, yeah, you rarely ever activate it. But it is another one of the very few untapped mana rocks for two. Should probably play it. I'm afraid to see where it is right now. So Stone. It is just the one that I would say this one. Probably don't print this. And there's probably going to be four more. Cheapest one is $45 in Germany.
There's six Soul Stones.
Five more.
Oh, that's five more.
At least I assume so, right?
The color purple to magic so they can make the last, I forgot. Yeah, we get purple finally, yeah.
Oh, make it colorless. Make it $200.
No, they just reprint Sol Ring, but they call it that, and they don't change. It's, now you can run two Sol Rings in your deck.
That's it's not even a reskin.
It enters untapped if you have two or more opponents there.
Well, balance sold. It. Make it tap for one yes. mana. It's a small ring. Mm. And just it, one mana yeah. taps for one. That's God. Balanced. God,
please. A small ring.
God, please, no. No.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that is a good choice.
I think choice. That
definitely a little over the top. What do you got, Tomer?
Deadpool.
Yeah. Okay.
I only just let it like target. At the very least, let me have some play around potential on this stupid card. Ugh. It's just
card.
Like it immediately swaps the creature. You can't really do anything about it. And then just to like really dig you into that hole, you have to pay three mana for the luxury of sacrificing your own commander. So then, and then your opponents get to draw a card as well. And then you try to recast your commander and they just like reanimate or blink Deadpool and they do it again. It's so stupid.
We've seen that happen on Commander Clash. We've seen it happen. Yeah. It's usually Phil that's getting wrecked by it. Actually,
you're like, oh, you want
hexproof?
Right. Nah, it gets around hexproof. Screw you. Like, ugh, so stupid.
I mean, Deadpool is stupid, and I think it does deserve a place on the list. But, Krim, I think me and you might agree on what we have as the best worst card of the year from Final Fantasy. I can't believe we haven't talked about this card more because it kind of broke Standard. It kind of dominated Commander. It's one of the most, I think it is the most popular Commander from the year as of the current date on EDH Rec.
Did it crack the top 10 saltiest cards, too?
It's top five, I think, of saltiest cards. It's way up there this year. Vivi Ornithyr, I mean, it's the card is ridiculous. It makes so much mana. It doesn't have any of the safety valves because Wizards wanted to make an exciting card, so they got rid of all the tapping and those normal things that would keep a card like Vivi in check, and they were just like, yeah, go for it. You can do everything, and Vivi does everything. It is like just a ridiculously powerful spell slinger card, engine piece. It makes mana. It's everything you could want. It kills people even, which is the one saving grace, I guess, is at least it has the grace that if you cast enough spells, your opponents will get burned out of the game eventually. So it does make the game end. But Vivi's just so over the top. Krim, I know you love Vivi even more than I do, though. What do you have for Vivi here?
That's my baby boy. And let me tell you, it lives up to his legacy. His legacy now and the whole purpose of Final Fantasy IX and what he talks about, he will live on now and he will always be remembered and he will be in Magic as well. I think that in a format where you can't, like, not a lot of people focus on removing things. Like, I think in 1v1, there's a different discussion to have there. But, like, I think in multiplayer, if you don't answer this, it's over. Like, oh, it is actually sure. over, right? Like, you cannot let them keep this. My goal is to crack it in that I want to find a VV deck that isn't busted. And so far, it's the closest I can get is VV Voltron.
It's a VV deck with no non-creature spells in it. Yeah. There, done.
That's the problem. The card is just too strong in Commander, and it's cheap. And so if you kill it, comes back, you know, it's not hard to like it's get this much. Out and then just win the game.
I'd vote this one too, actually, because not only is it like too powerful, but it's also one of the favorite characters. So people want to play this card. It's the most one of the most popular characters too. So it often happens where like somebody's getting into Commander, a newer player or something, they pick their favorite character, they want to build a VV deck, they show up to the LGS, they show up to their group, they stomp with VV, or everybody just dogpiles them, and then it's not going to be a fun experience, and they also probably just spent all this money building a VV deck, right? Like, they probably built it, didn't really test it with people. They're kind of really excited to go play, and then it's a horrible experience, and then what do they do, you know? So I feel like that's just, like, the fact that it's so popular makes it probably the worst card as well.
I think that's what I see as a difference between it and Deadpool, right? It's just VV shows up.
Only
more
Crypt
often,
is
but...
Deadpool, thank God.
Yeah, only
also, Rodrigo plays Deadpool, too, now. Thanks,
Oh, God. Thanks, God.
I have to deal with that at home. Phil?
I would be fine with choosing VV for this as well, although my point still stands.
Your point, yeah. No, that is a good point. All right. We'll go with VV, and Deadpool will be the runner-up for this one. So let's move on to our second-to-last category. Best card of the year, non-Commander edition. So a 99 card of the year. And let's kick things... Oh, Krim. Let's kick things off with Krim. Krim, what's your card?
Funny. Thank you. I don't know why you're sighing there, Seth. So I noticed that in the 99, my favorite card from this year is, surprise, it's Deadpool. Not joking. This card is also good in your 99. If you don't want him as the Commander, great. If you're playing Grixis, you're playing Jund, whatever, doesn't matter. If you have red and black, you play Deadpool. He is so good. He's my baby boy. He's my favorite removal spell, and he gives you all the value of whatever your opponent's trying to do, because they're probably trying to do something unfair anyways, so you may as well partake it and take it from them, and then you force them to spend the 3 mana to pop it so everyone else can draw a card. This is just it's like a super, like, ravenous chupacabra. I love this card.
I know you do. Everyone else kind of hates it, but it is very powerful, and I can see why you love it, Krim. But let's move on to Phil. Phil, what is your number one best non-commander of the year?
So my favorite card of the year is a land, actually. It is Adagia Windswept Bastion, the station land that can copy enchantments and artifacts. It's just so fun. Like, I just put it into a bunch of decks that play enchantments and artifacts, and I don't regret anything. In Commander, it's super easy to station it up. Best card, I think, in the 99 is Sephiroth. I feel like this Sephiroth one is just... good. In generically incredibly powerful. I would also say, that's also true for Deadpool, I guess, but no. And so Sephiroth,
you remember Deadpool and
for.
Sephiroth, Phil? You remember that time when Deadpool and Sephiroth
Deadpool stole Sephiroth and killed me, even though it was my commander. Love it. So in the end, Sephiroth killed the player. So I think Blood Artist is like an ultra staple, and powering it up was, as expected, very good.
Sephiroth, definitely a busted card. Tomer, what do you got for best 99 card of the year?
So I wanted to say Redirect Lightning, because, you know, I'm a bullpen lover, and it has gone in a bunch of red decks, but one that I've just been like, I need to just put them in all my decks, is the Legend of Yangchen.
Yeah.
Legend of Yangchen. Mm-hmm. We talked about it in a previous one when we were talking about Avatar cards, but it's actually just stayed up on the hype. It's a saga, 5-mana white. It has 3 chapters. The first one, starting with you, each player chooses up to 1 permanent with mana value 3 or greater from among permanents your opponents control. Exile those permanents. Chapter 2, you and target opponent draw 3 cards, or you may have target opponent draw 3 cards. If you do, draw 3 cards. And then chapter 3, it's exile transforms into Avatar Yingchen 4/5 flyer. And then whenever you cast your second spell each turn, airbend up to 1 target non-land permanent. It's not just creatures. Just like that first chapter is so good. Like it's just Jurid of Purification, except just better. Jurid of Purification, I run all the time. This one is 1 more mana, but it hits any permanent that's mana value 3 or greater, so it can even hit creatures, it can hit whatever. And yeah, it's very good. And then it has a Secret Rendezvous if you're into that. And then the backside is extra bonus.
If you're into Secret Rendezvous,
I think it's kind of funny. You still like blow out a person, like everybody chooses something on that person's board and they like lose 3 permanents. And then you're like, sorry about that, buddy. Here, have 3
that's
cards.
Rough,
yeah, that's rough.
Sorry to bring down your city. Here's some gold.
I fully am with you on that, Tomer. I think this card is gas. This is like ECD, like beefed up. Elspeth Conquers Death, but beefed up for a multiplayer, right? Yeah. I really love this card in Commander. This is a sweet card.
I think all the mythic sagas from Avatar are actually really good and kind of sleepers a little bit, and people haven't like woken up to how good they are. But I'm gonna go back to Edge of Eternities for my card with Ice Till Explore, which is a card that every time I read it and every time I play against it, I still think I can't believe they actually made the card the way they did. Like it's just like so over the top that you get the Crucible of Worlds effect of being able to play lands from your graveyard, on top of being able to play extra land drops each turn, on top of even milling to fill your graveyard with a landfall ability on what is not horrible stats, a 4-mana 2/4, so you get a big butt to dodge some removal. And it just does. It's one of those cards where they just put like 2 different effects together, and it's 2 effects that probably shouldn't be together because it lets you like loop the degenerate lands if you want to do Glacial Chasms or Strip Mine stuff. You can just play it for value in any sort of green deck, any sort of landfall deck. It works in a graveyard deck. It's a really, really, really strong card that I think maybe has just gotten a little overshadowed by like how good Vivi and Deadpool and stuff are, but I think that the Dice Till is definitely one of the strongest 99 cards they printed this year.
This would be
100.
My pick.
If I play green,
lands,
it's
so.
In there. It's an all in one.
It's
so,
so
good.
Stupid.
It is.
I hate it so much.
It really is. They might have went a little too far with that one. But let's wrap it up with our final category: best commander of the year. So this isn't necessarily our favorite ish commander, but anyway, let's see what people pick. What do you got? Let's start with Let's start with Krim.
Stop it, Krim.
What's the best commander of the year?
Well, okay, since Seth has called upon me, I think there's a card, I don't know if you've heard of it, in 2 red and black. It's called Deadpool Trading Card.
I believe we're familiar with it. Yes, thank you.
Okay. I genuinely think this is also a really good commander because, I mean, you played against it, right, guys? Oh, you remember.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I tried to block it out of my mind, but I do, yeah.
It blanks the entire board. And then people are just like, well, I don't want to have Deadpool steal my ability, so you play something into it. No, you play something into it.
Great.
That is just
that's
wonderful.
What Phil's for. It doesn't stress me out that much if Phil's there because I know that Phil's gonna play the scariest
Phil's
thing.
Phil's like jumping in front of the bullets.
Great. Thank you, Phil. I don't think I ever thanked you for that. Thank you for playing the scariest.
Careful, game. He's a not hero, practice. Everyone. Phil is a hero. Okay, what is it? Anti Venom? When you
we need Marnius Calgary.
Oh my God! Yeah, this one gets. Oh man.
gross.
Phil, why don't you hit us up with your pick for best commander of the year?
So mine is a little out there, and I admit that the other ones on the list are probably correct, but I wanted to give it a little fresh. This one was super hyped in the beginning of the year, and I played it, and it lived up to the hype. It is Hashaton Scarab's Fist. It is the one that is like Esper colored 2-drop, and whenever you discard a creature card, you can, I guess it's a Oars of Colors 2-drop, and whenever you discard a creature card, you may pay 2 and a blue. And then if you do, create a tap token that's a copy of that creature. So it's a super cool take on Reanimator, uncountable copies of huge haymakers. I think it was very, very strong, super competitive mana costs. You play some unique cards and in very good colors when it comes to interaction. That said, there is Vivi. Sure, that pool's pretty strong. But this one felt like a super, super powerful commander that you have to build around, but then you get paid off.
I played against this at Vegas, I want to say, and someone had a Hashtag deck, and I was like floored at how busted it was. So I think this is actually like a very good pick, and I just kind of forgot about it, maybe because it's like an Aether Drift card, and I kind of forgot about that entire set.
It's been like five years ago.
But I mean, it's still ranked like the number 43 overall commander on EDH Rec right now, which makes it one of the most popular of the year, I think, just behind Vivi by a little bit. But yeah, super, super good pick that I forgot about. Tomer, I think me and you were in agreement on this one. Mm-hmm. What do we have for best commander of the year?
It's a Bola Vivi. Yeah.
How can it not be? Yeah. Like, it's the most popular, right? And the most powerful, arguably.
I love Vivi, too. I'm a big Vivi stan. I just wish I could play it at a regular group that's not CDH, but guess not.
Swap its text box?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Deadpool, the hero we needed.
Have you just considered swapping the text box?
No, I switched it to Deadpool. I'm sorry.
I hope Wizards learns from that in the future, because I know Vivi's a really popular character, and I hope they consider, with future universes beyond sets, that actually printing the cards too good for Commander might be a bit of a detriment to that character, because, like you were saying, it's tough to actually play them, right? Like, you can't really just build a casual Vivi deck, or you're just going to stomp your table. So what do people who really love Vivi, actually, what do? So I hope Wizards keeps that in mind when they design their 2026 and 2027 cards, because I feel like Vivi would be much better if it was just, like, a little bit less strong, but
maybe. But Fire Lord Azula is basically the same trend, I think. It's like already in the top 100, most popular commander by far. What does it do? Storms off and wins if you let it attack a single time. It's like, well,
yeah. I mean, at least it has to attack. VV, you don't even got to really attack with. So.
I found that to be an actual drawback. So, yeah.
It is a drawback. It is a drawback.
Anyway, that's our 2025 award show, the best and worst of Commander in 2025. You've seen our categories. Let us know in the comments what you would pick for underrated, overrated, card of the year, commander of the year, cringe card of the year, all that stuff. Let us know what you would pick. Thanks for watching this year, everyone. I hope you're having an amazing holiday season, and we'll be back next week to talk some more Commander. So until then, have a great day, and this is Crew signing out.